Right, welcome everybody. We're very pleased to see an old friend, well, a youngish friend back again, and warm greetings to Suresh Wattana, who's the managing partner at Harmony Capital, who are themselves the investment manager for Adamas Finance Asia. There's an awful lot going on in the world at the moment that we'd like to hear your views on, Suresh, but in terms of Adamas, it's probably good to start with the FY19 results because they're only released last week. 2019 seems a long time ago, but there was a lot of positives that seemed to come out in those results.
Indeed. Hi, Andy. Great to see you as well and to catch up. As you said, our annual results came out last year. Our last year's annual results came out last week. And there was a lot, and 2019 is a long way away from where we are today. However, our results also spent quite a lot of time talking about the period following the end of the calendar year. So the headline items from the results really are quite encouraging. Our portfolio income grew by over 500% from 2018 to 2019. And as you know, we've been very focused on growing our portfolio income because that's a key strategy of ours to ultimately make Adamas Finance Asia a dividend-paying vehicle. And so portfolio income is very important in that respect. Our net asset value also increased by about 8%, which we were very pleased with because of some new investments we made, and one in particular that we made on a non-cash basis. In other words, we issued Adam stock rather than using our cash reserves for that investment in 2019. So all in all, the year was very positive. Obviously, we had some issues to contend with in Hong Kong in 2019, if people can remember that far back, with some of the civil unrest. But we got through that. And then, of course, going into 2020, we had this little issue of a pandemic that came across Asia initially, and now the rest of the world. And again, as we advise in our results, we're really seeing an encouraging return of economic activity across all our portfolio companies and the countries in which they operate in, because Asia certainly is leading the way out for the rest of the world now.
Yes, and we've moved swiftly on to COVID-19. Did that have any particular impact on companies that you are invested in, or did you benefit from having quite a diverse portfolio, not just geographically, but in terms of the industries and activities they're involved in?
The impact was varied across the portfolio. There are companies in our portfolio, for example, in the healthcare space, which actually have benefited from increased reverse inquiries from clients and so on. Our company DocDoc, for example, has been very active in disclosing a number of the positive strides they've made over this period. As one would expect, I guess the healthcare sector has, if I can use the word benefited, I use that very carefully, but certainly benefited from what's happened. Other companies, and we've disclosed, our investment, for example, in our quarry in China, was shut for almost 2.5-3 months, going back to the Chinese New Year, which is when really the pandemic started, and originally in China, and that's when the lockdown was very strictly enforced across the country. Countries, depending on which country our investments are in, they've been impacted to a lesser or greater degree. Overall, however, what we were pleased to report was the fact that, as I said earlier, most of Asia has now come out of these lockdown periods and in fact are positively making strides to stimulate economic activity. And part of that is getting people back to work, getting industries manufacturing again. And so that really has benefited businesses like our quarry, who are now back in production, back in our operations. Our restaurant business, our food and beverage business in Hong Kong, for example, is now operational again because the lockdowns have been lifted in Hong Kong, etc. So the impact had been varied, but I'm pleased to say that there wasn't any permanent damage, if I could put it that way, at least as we disclosed in our results.
Yes, and has the pandemic had any impact in terms of how you run your business? You've got diverse offices and people spread around Asia and indeed in London, which I'm sure has functioned very efficiently. But do you think you have learned any lessons, positive lessons from how the crisis has affected management? And looking more at the portfolio, will it have an impact on sectors and potential investments that you are perhaps now keener to look at that you wouldn't have been looking at 6 months ago?
I think if I can answer the first part of your question, how it's impacted how we do business and what have I learned? I mean, one thing I can say, and not tongue in cheek, is never take business interruption plans and contingency planning for granted, because we have all had to live through what it would it look like if we were all working from home and there was some kind of catastrophe that forced us away from our offices. We've all lived that now for 2 or 3 months, no matter where Harmony has its offices, whether be that Hong Kong, Singapore, or London. So I'm pleased to say that first and foremost, Harmony Capital team has been safe. We haven't had any issues, thank goodness, with any of our individuals in the team and nor the directors of Adamas Finance Asia. So that's the first important thing for us, is the safety of our people. But as we've continued to work in this new post-COVID world, as they call it, we've adapted to working online, working at home. In fact, our offices in Hong Kong are now reopened. Our team is back in the office. In fact, they moved office today to a new office building. So life is certainly returning back to normal, in inverted commas, in countries like Hong Kong. So business is slowly returning to what we used to know of it. How it changes going forward, I'm yet to sort of determine. I think a very important part of our business, and as we've discussed before, part of our investment process, is getting to know companies, getting to know people, management teams, boards, and that requires, in my view and my team's view, face-to-face interaction. It includes due diligence, trips and visits on site, etc. So all of those things have been put on hold because of things like travel restrictions, which are still in force in Asia. But we are confident that those things will eventually be lifted. And so even those aspects of our investment process will continue. In terms of kind of how it's impacted our view on the world, I'm first and foremost, very firm in the view that actually no one really knows, including us, what the real damage has been from, shutting down most of the global economy for some period of time. And while everybody's, sat at home, it's easy to sort of say, well, everything's come to a grinding halt, but we don't really know who's unemployed and who's not, who has savings, who doesn't, who's willing to spend, who isn't, until the lockdowns start to lift and we return back to some kind of economic activity. So what that means for us as Adam and as Harmony Capital, as investment manager, is that we're being patient, we're being disciplined about when we want to start looking for new investment opportunities. Right now, there is a flood of opportunities that are confronting us because the SME space, which we operate in, was starved of capital before this crisis. And it's going to be even more starved of capital going forward as banks and the capital markets look to recover from what is an unprecedented event in global history. And so, we expect the amount of funding that's going to the SME space is going to be even further constrained. So that is going to drive opportunities for us. The more SMEs are starved of capital, the more they look for alternative sources, which is what Adam is. We're an institutional investor focused on that Asian SME space. So I think we're going to see huge opportunities, but we're still being disciplined about screening those opportunities and looking for the very best opportunities for the portfolio. In terms of sectors, we've always been sector agnostic. So we're not trend followers. We're not looking for fads. There are some people who have been tempted to go into speculative investments because of a search for a vaccine, for example. I mean, we're not doing that. We're looking still fundamentally for good companies in any sector that have a right to exist, and we believe have good management teams that we can finance to the next step of their evolution. So that hasn't changed in that sense. I just think the volume of deals we're processing right now and looking at has just increased, and it's only the beginning as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, I don't think anybody would dispute that side of the equation is, in terms of pipeline opportunities, can only grow substantially. So if we now switch to the other side of the equation, you've been able to increase your cash reserves early this year via a further issuance of your corporate bond. But I'm sure you're keen to provide more firepower to commit to this extremely attractive pipeline of opportunities.
Absolutely. I mean, as an investment company, we grow by first and foremost making good investments and reaping the benefits of those good investments. But secondly, as a listed investment company, our objective is to also grow by accessing the capital markets in which we operate in, be that here in London, As I said, investor pools of capital from the Middle East as an example. And we have, you know, varying ways of doing that. The corporate bond program you mentioned, which we launched in the fourth quarter of 2019, has been very successful. We've actually found quite a lot of interest from family offices and high net worth individuals, as I said, in the Middle East, out of Dubai in particular. And as you mentioned, we closed another tranche of that bond issuance ago. And, you know, that's one tool that we will use going forward. The other tool is obviously the ability to equity, to issue our equity, to raise money for the right opportunities. And that's, you know, again, in reserve for the board to make that decision at the right time, when they feel the market conditions are right, et cetera. So we certainly want to continue to grow the vehicle and grow the war chest, for the want of a better phrase, that we for the opportunities we see coming. And, you know, the thing about the SME space, Andy, is that it's not a space where there's a very short window, and if we miss it, suddenly we won't be able to invest any further. It's not like buying or trading a stock where maybe a stock can be down 30, 40% on an event or at a time like this, and then it recovers very quickly within a few weeks, months, sometimes days. And therefore, you have missed the opportunity to buy in at a discount. Here in the SME space, we're talking about structural imbalances, which, you know, as I said, going into this, there was a $2.7 trillion funding gap in just the Asian SME sector. And that was identified by the IMF some time ago. We expect that that gap has widened now because of what is going to happen as a result of this pandemic. So the opportunities for Adam are just staggering if we really think about Asia as our playground and the fact that we're sector agnostic and country agnostic. So I don't want to say we can put limitless amounts of capital to work. That would be quite arrogant of me to say that. But I think we can certainly put a lot of money to work over the course of the next 12, 24 months as the opportunity set starts to mature and we really start to ascertain where are the companies, what are the good companies to back.
Great. And perhaps we might just finish up by trying to look at the short-term future, as you say, much uncertainty looking too far down the road. But in terms of Adamas shares, and of course, the results reveal the net asset value that is, you know, approximately three times the current share price, despite the good news that you've been producing in recent months. What might be the catalysts in terms of news from the portfolio or other events that will awaken people to the fact that on AIM there is a sterling quoted means of playing this extremely vibrant part of the Asian economy?
It's been a problem that's vexed the minds of my directors, myself, and a number of people around us, you know, for some time. And I think the issue really has come down to the fact that, you know, we lack liquidity in our stock. That's no secret. And as a result, you know, we've also not had the kind of following, I guess, that a lot of companies, even smaller companies than us, have on markets like AIM. And so one of the objectives has always been to keep the market fully informed, to generate interest through factual, you know, representations of what's happening, not obviously speculative things, but actual things that are happening in our portfolio. And so, you know, the catalysts I see perhaps for our story come from firstly our portfolio. So we have said on prior occasions that we will continue to keep the market fully updated on our quarry in China, for example, which has now restarted operations. I expect to provide a operational update in the next few weeks on where the business is. And we're also hoping to provide financial guidance for the first time ever for our asset in the sort of summer of this year, full year guidance for the year. So I think that will be hopefully very informative for the market to really truly understand what this asset is and what its contribution to the overall Adamas business may be. Over and above that, we've obviously got developments in our portfolio, you know, in relation to companies either, you know, finding an exit for themselves, maybe listing, for example, and things like that. But I can't speculate as to which ones we may be announcing specifically. But above and beyond sort of regular updates to the market about what's happening in the portfolio, my expectation would be in the second half of this year that we would also hopefully make some announcements about new investments, because as much as I think the investment opportunity set will continue to become bigger and more attractive, as I said, over the next 12 to 24 months, as we sit here today, we have several opportunities in our pipeline that we are currently assessing. And I think, you know, as the due diligence process continues with some of the more attractive opportunities in that pipeline, we may get to a position where we can announce some new investments, as I said, in the second half of this year. So all of those things in combination, hopefully will act as catalysts and at the very least, at least spurn the imagination and interest of investors as they see this and then suddenly realize that we're trading at such a massive discount that maybe there's something that warrants a closer look.
Well, we look forward to those developments. We thank you for your time, Suresh, always much appreciated, and wish you and indeed all the viewers of this recording good health going forward. Thank you again.
Thank you, Andy. It's a pleasure catching up, and thank you for the opportunity.